All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to ParentCast, a podcast dedicated to new parents, new babies, and their new lives together. So listen and relax, because it's free, it's funny, and it's a lot better than therapy.
Ladybugs having a picnic, grasshoppers flying high to the sky, bluebirds singing sweetly, this is the world around me.
Welcome to episode 5 of ParentCast. I'm your host, Mary Larson.
And I'm totally down with this new intro music. What is this?
This is Jennifer Romanat. She is a music teacher. She's actually Reese's music teacher, and she is going to be our guest later today.
Oh, that's where we go. Let this ride. I want to hear it more. Let it ride, baby.
Wiggly, wiggly, squiggly worms in the dirt, creepy, crawly spiders, beautiful flying butterflies. This is the world around me while I'm just picking flowers.
You know, I'm actually really into that. I didn't think I would be, but like, because like it's kids' music, but it's actually kind of cool.
It's really, really good. I mean, you will probably be driving in the car tomorrow listening to Sports Center or whatever it is.
And being like, wiggly, wiggly spiders, da 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 da. I feel like I was in like Florida, like doing like a mamba.
Ooh.
Ooh, baby.
So obviously music is a big part of our lives, right?
Definitely. I'm always jamming out in my car, I'll tell you that.
Why am I laughing?
I have no idea.
Because you have the worst voice.
Excuse me?
And if I could be a fly on the wall, I could just picture you jamming out in your car, like totally off pitch. I don't even know what would you be jamming out to. If you could be jamming out in your car, what's like your jam right now?
If I could jam anything, it'd probably be like The Who. You know, like Teenage Wasteland or, you know, Baba O'Reilly. Oh, I could totally do that. You know, I could totally rock that.
That's, you know.
It's me and Pete Townsend out there.
Okay.
I could even do the guitar flail too. Why not?
Hey, go for it. So today's topic is actually music with babies.
Yes, it is. And, you know, I've always known that something like that was important, but I didn't really get the idea of how important it was until I saw my kid react to specific musics that we played when he was born and when he was out in
the world. Can you elaborate?
We used to play Reese the soundtrack to the movie Up, and we used to play that for him when he was in the womb and everything, and we have this real like love affair with that movie, and I loved it, and I know you loved it. It was fantastic. And anybody that hasn't seen it yet, please go ahead, watch it. It'll make you cry in the first 4 minutes, but it's totally a really cool movie. Anyway, we loved the soundtrack to that movie made by a guy named Michael Giacchino, whatever. He won an Oscar for it. Anyway, we used to play that for Reese in the womb. And when he came out, we would play it for him whenever he cried, whenever he was really like distraught.
Which is pretty much the first 6 months of his life.
Oh my God, the kid just wouldn't shut up. I mean, the constant crying kept going. Anyway, we would play that for him, and it would really calm him down. And he'd sit there and he'd just listen to it. And I don't know what it was. Maybe it was a familiar sound. Maybe it was just soothing to him. But he really reacted really well to that music. And I swear by the fact that music now is so important to our lives, especially for him. A kid needs to be exposed to music just like that every day. It needs to happen.
Look at you, Mr. Passionate about that topic. And
no, really. I am really passionate about it. Seriously.
Well, luckily today we're going to be chatting about it a little bit more. But before we get into our music interview, we need to step into the judgment-free zone.
I had one last week. I know that. And I think I'm going to let the floor off to Mary here. What do you got there, Mrs. Lassen?
So recently I took a drive down to New York. And on my way down, I had to drive through the lovely state of Connecticut. Now, I don't want to offend anybody if you live in Connecticut. But if you don't live in Connecticut and you drive through Connecticut, you know what issue I might have with the state of Connecticut. I mean, you just get stuck no matter what. There's two particular places on 95 and there's just nothing you can do.
So I know this is the judgment-free zone, but I can't stand driving through that state. I'm sorry.
I know, but nonetheless, I'm driving down and I'm stuck. I forget what was happening. I think the snow was melting and people forgot about fog. Who knows what happened? But I was scheduled to kind of be in New York and at a pit stop around that time, and I realized I wasn't going anywhere anytime soon. And
oh no, I think I got an idea where you're going with this.
You might, but see, I didn't have to pee, I didn't have to poo, I had to pump my boobs. So I sat there
In the car.
In the car. Which, by the way, is broken. My electronic seat is pretty much possessed, so it like pushes me forward and leans me back. It's probably actually illegal for me to be doing any of what I did, but with my moving possessed seat,
texting me.
No, I wasn't texting because it's illegal. I wasn't even on my phone. I don't even think you can use your phone in Connecticut, so I was afraid of that. But I whipped out my manual pump nonetheless and my left boob because that probably is illegal. And I carefully covered myself with my jacket, and I just went to town because I had to. When you are a breastfeeding mom, you know the issues that we go through, and I was close to making a mess on myself. And the outfit that I was wearing was the outfit I needed to wear that day. I couldn't just show up covered in leaked breast milk, and it wasn't like I was driving. We were stuck. We were just stuck in traffic, and I had to like look at the people next to me, to my left and to my right. I probably had a great show for somebody, but that's my judge at Free Zone, is that I pumped in the car when I was stuck in traffic.
I'm so glad I didn't get a phone call from you being like, honey, I got arrested for like exposure. Some John in the car next to me saw me whipping out my boobs.
Oh my goodness. I mean, I did cover myself pretty well, but
You know, you got a nip slip in there probably.
I definitely Janet Jackson. So that is my judgment free story.
Well, Mary, that is a very good judgment-free confession.
Thank you.
I got to admit. Luckily, however, today is not about nip slips. You know, I'm sure some guys probably want to hear about nip slips, but today we're talking about music for babies. So why don't we go ahead and bring in Jen?
All right. So joining us is Jennifer Romanat, who is the owner, director, and teacher of Eastside Music Together, and she's also a composer. She's a great musician. How are you doing, Jen?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. And as you know, I'm very passionate about music myself, but I wanted to know how you got started in teaching music.
Well, I was taking my two boys, who were at the time just about 1 year old and 3 year old, to Music Together classes in Southern Rhode Island. And I had been making music my whole life, mostly as a performer. And I just said, hey, I want to do this. I want to teach this with this program. So I started looking into it, and we were moving up to the northern part of the state. And so I decided to kind of see what was involved in starting my own program.
Talking about that program, the Music Together program, could you just, you know, briefly explain it to me and what it's about and the whole deal behind it?
Okay. So Music Together, it's a research-based international early childhood program. It's actually a music and movement program for infants through age 7, roughly, and their families. So it's been around since the mid-80s, and the classes are based on the premise that all children are musical, and that if that musical, that innate musicality is nurtured, they'll be able to participate in our musical world confidently, you know, carrying a tune and staying in rhythm, that just with basic music competency, if they start from the time they're babies.
So you talked about the music and movement. Like, what do you mean by music and movement?
Music, you know, singing is obviously a part of music, but movement really is a part of music too, in that the way we feel with rhythm, you know, is just really important to keeping a steady beat. And we often forget that part. You know, we often, like, just even tapping our knees, that's small movement, of course. But getting up and experiencing that movement on a larger scale is really important too. And just feeling the rhythm, you know, within our bodies is very important in music.
So would it be like dancing or
dancing.
Throwing things against the wall? I don't know.
that too occasionally happens in our classes. but yeah, dancing, like maybe something choreographed, but some, you know, we involve free movement within the classes so that they can explore their own movement. And even in the choreographed pieces, they can still experience it in their own way. Maybe even some naming what we're going to do, how we're going to move. Okay, let's jump around, you know, or whatever, as we sing, you know, jump, jump, dump to my loo, as we sing, skip to my loo, connecting the words with the movement.
There are lots of different types of children in, you know, music classes. So what exactly drew you to Music Together in particular?
Really, as a parent, I loved the format of the classes in that they included the parents. That just really made sense to me. I think a lot of programs out there ask that the parents sort of stand aside or maybe assume that that's going to happen. But this was just really inclusive of the parents, and they just, the program to me acknowledged that parents are, you know, the kid's first teacher really in life. And I really like that from a parental perspective. I love that we were making music as a community. I think it's so rare that people get the opportunity to do that now, unless they're involved with some sort of religious congregation. But it's even probably more rare that we get to move together as a community.
And unless you're in a flash mob, then you
exactly.
get to.
Exactly. Well, there's that, of course. I love that it was a very non-judgmental environment. You know, it wasn't performance based. It wasn't, you know, if you can't sing, you shouldn't. It wasn't that at all. No, just sing for the enjoyment of it. You know, as a musician, I really loved that the music being offered was just included varied tonalities and meters from around the world, and but also included old favorites, you know, like old, you know, folk tunes that we've known forever. So it's just a great mix of music, and I really love that.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're judgment-free, because I'm not sure if you know this quite yet or not, but on our show, we start every show with the judgment-free zone. And so it's good to know that, like, for, you know, for like a guy like me, I can't sing worth a lick. You know, I sound like a wailing cat. So
no, you came to class. You didn't sound like a wailing cat at all.
Oh, well, you're probably making me try to feel better about myself, but that's okay. I don't mind. So you're talking about parents. Can other people go too? Is it just parents who are able to go to these classes? Like, for whom are these Music Together classes?
They're really for the whole family. I have grandparents attending with their grandchildren, aunts and uncles, nannies, you know, you name it. Older siblings when they're off of school often really enjoy coming. So it is really for everybody. And I think it surprises a lot of adults, especially how much they enjoy it. You know, I often get the comment like, wow, that was really fun. They're totally shocked. Like, I'm not sure exactly what they expect, but I get that comment actually said pretty similar to that, a lot. Mm-hmm. So
I know, cause I know when I went, I did have a lot of fun myself.
Oh, good.
And, it wasn't that I necessarily felt pressured to sing at all. I just did because I felt like it. I don't know. I just got into it, I guess.
That's awesome.
And it's good. I think it's good for dads and other guys who probably wouldn't necessarily be attuned to doing something like that. It's, you know, you just go with the flow and enjoy it. And I think it's a good thing. And luckily, you made it fun too.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and I'm glad you felt comfortable, because, you know, so honestly, some people don't still, even though I try to provide that environment, you know, but it's kind of weird. It's like stepping into a musical and you have no idea what your part is, you know, like, what am I doing? You know? So I try to tell people that there's no Simon Cowell's lurking around the corner wondering, you know, going to say you're horrible, you know, just have fun with it. Just act like, you know, no one, you're by yourself listening to some music and rocking out, and you don't even care who was watching or listening, you know?
Yeah. Now, Jen, kind of stepping back from Music Together, just talking music in general, when is the best time to expose children to music?
From the beginning, in utero even, actually. I mean, babies in utero can hear by the time they're 4 months old, I believe. So just as we talk to our babies, and walk in front of them, knowing that they will do both of those things in time. We should sing and dance around them and with them, in the hopes that they'll also do the same.
Is it just the music that you can expose them to? Do you have like a recommendation, or is it just something that you, is it just like to the parents, to their liking, I guess?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the best things you can do for your children, is just showing enjoyment of music, period. Whether you can carry a tune or not. I mean, my dad can't carry a tune to save his life, but he loves to sing.
Sounds like me.
And that's, you know, my mom can carry a tune, and she sang a lot too, of course, growing up. but just watching his just unbridled enjoyment, you know, really influenced me. So yeah, whatever you enjoy, I'd say, you know, I mean, as long as it's obviously appropriate language wise, as they get older, you know, I mean, there's some things that could be questionable, but most things are really not, you know, they're, you know, whatever. I mean, one of my sons had always loved AC/DC for the time he was little, you know, and the other son really loved classical music. And we just tried to expose them to kind of everything, so that they would decide on their own what they like, you know.
I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking back to a lot of movie songs that kids are listening to nowadays. And the one thing I wonder is often they can't sing those songs because it's so out of their range. You know, there's a popular movie going around right now, and I try to listen to these poor kids sing it, and it's so low for them. So are there any recommendations, you know, if you do want to have some songs that they're, you know, easy to sing along to, you know, is it, you know, is there anything that they should be listening to?
That's where Music Together and other programs do a really good job of providing those, maybe even some familiar tunes in their range. So that kids can sing very easily to it. And actually it's harder for parents to sing to it because it is in a kid's range, you know? So I don't know about any music in particular that's popular, if that's what you mean.
Oh no, just to know that might be something that parents keep their ears out for is, can I, yeah, you know, are there easier songs? So that's good to know.
Right. Yeah.
What does a baby or a toddler gain from going to a class like yours? Like, you'll probably have a lot of naysayers like saying, well, is it even worth bringing like a really young baby, 2 or 3 months, or even a newborn, whatever, is it even worth it bringing it to a musical class? It sounds just like nonsense.
Yeah, I actually do get that here and there. And it's funny, even naysayers who do end up taking the class kind of see for themselves, you mm-hmm. know, they're really shocked at what their babies get out of it. You know, they just kind of joined it maybe just to get to know other people, or just because they thought it would be fun. But they're like, wow, I can't believe how much she got out of this. You know, just seeing her enjoyment of watching everybody dancing and then being old enough to participate with everybody, watching he or she sing, you know, that just was sort of shocking to them to see that, especially as babies. And they do certainly sing, even as young babies, sometimes their cooing is really in response to music, if you're paying attention to kind of when that's happening. Just building that foundation of musical competency really early on is so helpful from the get-go. Again, just as if you would talk in front of them, you know, walk in front of them so that they would do the same, we're going to sing and make music in front of them. And, you know, I would say that language skills are another big thing that they can, you know, that they get out of this. Is speech therapists swear by music classes and the impact that it makes on children's language development. Mm-hmm. And I think the same goes for physical therapists. I've had several kids with some physical difficulties, some with CP, and just seeing the gains that they make is unbelievable. The therapists themselves will tell me that, you know, mm-hmm. Because I don't think they're always thinking about what they're doing. It's just a natural flow from the music, you know? Mm-hmm.
So you talked about cooing and making sounds, and like, I know when I feel like when I listen to Led Zeppelin, Reese is out there and he's cooing, you know, to the Immigrant Song, you know, and I feel like he's matching the song or matching pitch. Like, do you think that's possible?
Oh yes, absolutely. I mean, again, they come out with musical ability, just as we have the ability. Most of us have the ability to talk, unless you have some kind of, you know, developmental delay. Not all of us are going to become actors if we know how to talk, you know, or interviewers or, you know, hosts. But not all singers are going to become performers, but we all have the ability for that skill if it's nurtured early on.
Yeah, I'm of the firm belief that some babies just got to get their lead out, you know? They just got to get it out.
Absolutely. I need to play some more of that in class, I think.
Well, kind of going along with that, you know, a lot of people say, I want to have my baby listen to classical music while he's in the womb, or I want to expose my child because they believe that the baby's going to get smarter from this. So I don't know what your feelings are on that.
it's funny because I know there was the whole Mozart research, you know, article that was going around for some time. And while I absolutely believe that research does seem to indicate there's some pretty strong evidence that music supports all learning, really, I don't know that it's specifically classical music. You know, I think lots of different kinds of music can achieve that. I mean, for example, Queen, they're basically classical. If you really look at the dynamics of their music, it's incredible, you know? Mm-hmm. So just playing all different kinds of music, exposing your child to that, all different tonalities and rhythms, it's just diversifies them.
We briefly interrupt this awesome interview because we lost contact with Jen. So we're going to switch the way we talk to her, and the audio quality is going to be a little bit different. So we apologize in advance. Okay, so we're back with Jen. And so, Jen, you were talking about tonality and different kinds of music. What were you getting at?
And just how that influences, just the connections that they make in their brains. It's like, I think what I was saying also is that it's like learning a language later in life. It's much more difficult to learn a new language. Whereas if you grow up in a bilingual home, you learn both languages very well. You know, it's the same thing with music. If you do it early on, the better off you are, really.
What can parents do with their babies at home? What kind of different activities can they be participating in?
Oh, they can do so many different things. They really can just sing all throughout the day, making up songs if they feel comfortable. I know oftentimes parents don't feel comfortable doing that. But if they don't, then just getting, you know, some songs that they enjoy, making up their own words to it even, you know. Enjoyment of any kind of music is one of the best things you can, one of the greatest gifts you can do for your children musically. I try to encourage parents to really make their own music, but if they don't feel comfortable even turning on the CD for a little bit and then learning the songs and on their own, you know, is great. Getting up and dancing around the house is just awesome thing to do with your kids. Singing lullabies, you know, it doesn't have to be typical lullabies, that's for sure. I mean, a friend of mine loved Thunder Road by The Boss, and she sang it to her son every night. And he knew every single word by the time he was 2 years old.
Oh, Blake sings Sweet Baby James to Reese. So
yeah, I have a set of three songs that if he's not asleep by at the end, we have a problem. I sing him Sweet Baby James, You Can Close Your Eyes, and then my finale is Turn the Page, the Bob Seger version, you know? So if he doesn't go to bed by then, we got a problem.
Yeah, for sure. That's great.
So in addition to being singing and moving with their children, what different types of like musical instruments or toys should we be giving the babies?
I would say anything that they can have their own exploration on. So certainly not anything expensive. even just the containers, storage containers in your cabinet are great for rhythm instruments, you know, putting some rice in there and making them into shakers. There's so many ways you can just have musical instruments in your house very cheaply. You can get them little, you know, gathering little tom-tom drums. Remo makes really great drums. The ones that I have in class, they just last so long and they really go through the ages of the children. So, you know, I mean, I find the quite a span enjoys those drums. But really basic rhythm instruments, building that rhythm, is one of the best things you could do. You know, just different props are great too. Scarves, anything you have in your house to dance with.
Are there any instruments? I know that sometimes things are marketed on, you know, online or whatever as being baby musical instruments. And is there anything, especially say if they're under a year old, that you wouldn't recommend that they play with?
Oh, that I wouldn't recommend. I think anything is great for them to be able to pretend and explore. You know, a lot of people will get their kids string instruments, and I certainly wouldn't recommend anything expensive once again. But if they could like just have fun playing on a sort of toy violin or ukulele or whatever, that's about, it's all about exploration at this age. You know, learning instruments will come much later. There needs to be a certain other readiness for that, you know, learning just to take, you know, lessons from somebody else. That's a whole nother skill. But You know, I think anything that parents feel comfortable with them having, I think it's great for them to explore it. Even just, you know, if you have a piano, let them play around on that piano, come up with their own tunes. You know, it's great.
When do you think it, you talked about, you know, the violins, and you got to wait really to give them a real violin. When do you think it's a good idea to have those kids start learning on those kind of string instruments or play on those really fancy pianos? What's the name of that piano that's like super fancy?
I have no idea.
The baby grand piano?
Yeah, I don't know. Steinway. You don't want a kid banging away on a Steinway, you know? When do you think it's a good idea to have them start banging away on real stuff?
Well, certainly they need to have an interest there already, you know? And I think it really has to do with, will they practice? You know, a three-year-old typically won't practice much. And again, it's about exploration for them. So they should just be able to explore on their own terms, and they'll get to a point. I would say, you know, it really varies for each child. Anywhere from, I would say, 5 is on the young side, maybe to even as late as 10, but I would say more like 8. They'll start to get to a point where they say, I want to know how to actually do this, you know, rather than just pretend to know how to do it or just be making up my own songs. I want to know what do these notes mean. Then I think that's when they're ready to dive into the theory behind music. The theory behind music is just being able to communicate with other musicians, you know.
Jen, the last question I always have for any of our interviewees is any tips or last thoughts you'd like to share with us? Like, what's the one thing that any of our listeners should take from this conversation we've either gone over so far or anything that we haven't covered quite yet?
I guess I just want to reiterate just kind of the enjoyment and encouraging parents to enjoy music on their own terms also. You know, one of the things that I love to hear parents say is that they realize how they've changed musically. And I feel like it's never too late to kind of think about that for your own self as a parent, you know, how you can grow musically and help your child to do the same.
Well, thank you so much, Jen, for coming in to talk all about this. And if people want to learn more about Music Together or your classes, how can they contact you?
My center is in Providence, Rhode Island, and they can contact me either through my website or by phone, but all that information is on the website. So my website is eastsidemusictogether.com.
Great. And how about your own original music? Where can they find that? And tell us a little bit about that.
I'm actually in the midst of recording right now, and that's due to come out sometime in the spring, so pretty soon. The album is called Just Pickin' Flowers, and I have a website for that. It's called justpickinflowers.org, and people can check out that website and go also like the Facebook page to get updates.
Great. Well, thanks, Jen. Thank you for joining us. It was awesome talking with you. And I'll be sure that when Bohemian Rhapsody comes up, I'll be blaring it on my car when the kid's with me.
Good. Yes, please do.
Well, thank you so much, Jen. So that was Jennifer Romanat from East Side Music Together. What do you think, Blake?
God, she's actually kind of cool.
Like, she's really cool.
Like, you know, she's not one of those like super like elite ladies that like, oh, you can only listen to Mozart. Oh, Beethoven only for baby. She's like, nah, dude, when Queen comes on, blare that on the radio. Have fun with it.
Yeah, she's a blast. I really enjoy her, and I enjoy her music. You and I have been saying that her song has been stuck in our heads now for the past couple of days.
I know. In between like the recording and everything, we've been sitting here just like singing, squeaky, squeaky, squeaky spiders. Like, I can't even say it. You know, it's like, but it's like actually kind of catchy, you
it
know?
Is.
And I mean, I'm sure if I'm, you know, going downtown and I hear that, I have that in the car and the window's down, people are going to be looking at me like, dude, hey, time out.
You know, they might not, especially if they see the baby in the back of your car. They're going to understand why.
I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty cool, but my coolness does not make up for that.
Oh, I think you're pretty cool. Well, let's actually switch gears and head on into the wines of the week. So what do you got, Blake?
I got my kid's diaper. I hate my kid's diaper. The other day, I had him. It was like 2:30 in the morning, right? And I knew that he had to get changed because he was crying and no amount of feeding, nothing would help him out. And I felt his diaper. It was totally full, right? So I get the new diaper on him and I go to put him back down. And the kid just lets out this giant crap as soon as he's done changing. And I'm like, come on, dude. I just spent, I'm dead tired and I'm sitting there and I get the thing all changed up. I can't even see out of my eyes because it's so swollen. And the kid just just drops another dump on me. And I'm like, really? Come on, bro. Like, you're better than that now. Yeah, you're way better than that. So it's 2:30 in the morning. I hate it. I can't do that. It ruins my week.
Oh,
what about you? What do you got?
You're just looking forward to the time when he can just wipe his own bum.
can we potty train him now?
I know. You can. There's actually a lot of people in Asia do it. They just like right from birth. If your baby makes a face like he's taking a poop, you take him over to the toilet and you let him go in the toilet.
Can we move to Asia for that? Or can we do that here?
You could do it here, but I think we should have already started it. Now he's used to his diaper.
You know what I want to do? Is I want to line the whole apartment with newspaper.
That's disgusting.
Just let him go.
Nope. I see people do that with dogs and they're like, oh, it's okay. That's his wee wee pad. No. Take your dog outside or put a diaper on your dog.
No, Reese, that's your wee wee pad. You must go on your wee wee pad.
There is no way that I am having wee wee pads around my house for my son.
The fact that you, the words wee wee pad were just uttered from your mouth. Just, you know what? Makes me laugh. I'm sorry. What do you got? Go ahead. What's your wine?
My wine of the week is this stupid 12-month close and then 18-month close. Whatever happened to 16-month close?
I didn't know there was 16-month close.
There isn't, and that's the problem, okay? Oh.
I didn't know what you were getting at. I'm like, 12, 18, what's the problem here?
You have zero, you have newborn. Then yes. You have 0 to 3. Then you have 3 to 6. Then you have 6 to 9. Then you have 9 to 12. Oh, and then all of a sudden it goes 12, and then there's 18 months, and there's nothing in between. So all of your kids' clothes are either way too small or they're huge. There's just no in between, and it's not summer. If it was summer right now, we could get away with it because he could have high waters. He could just wear shorts. It wouldn't matter. But when it's wintertime and your kid's in this in-between clothes like we are, you saw with his pajama feet, he either can't be fitting into his 12-month pajamas because they're way too small and he's like busting out.
He loses
it's like,
circulation.
It's like 3/4 length sleeves. Or if you try to put him in the 18-month pajamas, that his feet don't fit at all.
I know. I'm looking for just a midway point. I don't see how that's unreasonable.
I know.
Somebody get on this, will you?
We should. We should just contact these people. So that's my wine of the week. But let's move on to the wins of the week. So which made you happy this week?
Well, some of you on Facebook may have noticed that we put up a post of that the fact that we finished Breaking Bad. And my win of the week was sitting down with my wife and my son watching the finale of Breaking Bad. I mean, first of all, what an awesome show. It is totally moved up into like at least my top three. I mean, nothing will ever be Lost. I have a, if there's a like an ability to have a man crush on a show, it's Lost. But Breaking Bad is a very close second. And just to have, and being able to do that with my wife and my son, he's sitting on my lap and he's just watching it with me. I'm not sure if it's really appropriate for him to watch it with us, but whatever. I don't care. It was cathartic. No, I would say it was that, and just having him there, it was so cool. And by the way, the show is pisser. If nobody has seen the show, or some of you haven't seen it, I can't recommend it enough. I mean, what a great character study on somebody that, what a great show. I can't get enough of it. It's just in my mind. I keep thinking about it.
You're pumped, man.
Totally pumped. Maybe we should end the show with the Breaking Bad themes. Oh, no, we can't do that. Never mind.
No, that's copyrighted.
I know.
Yeah,
they'll sue us.
Well, you could try.
How about you? What do you got?
My win of the week is that Reese kind of waves goodbye now, which is really cute.
I know. Isn't that awesome?
It's so awesome, except he doesn't wave goodbye to you or me because he knows, like, oh, now I know what bye-bye means, yeah. And I don't want you to go bye-bye. So we'll ask each other, like, oh, wave bye-bye to Dada or wave bye-bye to Mama. Nope, won't wave. We'll kind of look at you like, are you kidding me?
Dude, I ain't going to do that. What's your problem?
I would actually prefer not to wave bye-bye so you can stay here. Because
I'll give you the finger. How's that sound? No.
So that's my win of the week is that he does bye-bye and it's really cute. All right, so it's time for the parent picks of the week. What do you have, Blake?
I got those puffs. You know those things that the little teeny tiny like they're almost like Cheerios.
They're Cheerios without any nutrition, but yes.
I know. Well, you know it shuts my kid up.
it
works on both levels. First of all, I can give it to him, or he'll take the food himself and he'll eat it, and he'll stop talking or crying or whining or anything like that. It shuts him up. But then I can just as an added bonus, the icing on the cake, I could just give them the bottle. I give them the whole thing. Have fun with it. I shut the top down and no food comes out, nothing. And he just plays with it. It's like a rattle and he goes crazy with it. It's like 15 minutes worth of entertainment. It's perfect. I love that thing.
Yeah, they pretty much are a saving grace for us. I would agree with you on that.
How about you? What do you got?
My parent pick of the week. If this is your child's first Easter season, if you celebrate Easter, even if you don't celebrate Easter, how exciting is this? You get to make your kid an Easter basket. I would make an Easter basket, fill it up with healthy things, more puffs. Maybe you can put puffs in the eggs. I don't know, but
be stealing my parent pick of the week. Don't be doing
I'm just piggybacking. I'm just piggybacking. But all I can tell you is that I have been walking into all these different stores around here, making my list in my mind about my kid's first Easter basket. And it's not going to be full of candy. Mine is. Mine's going to be full of candy, but my kids is not.
Biggest bag of Skittles you ever seen in your life.
It's not Skittles. I love the seasonal candy. Right now, it's the jelly beans and Cadbury eggs.
How about Peeps? Do you like Peeps?
I love Peeps.
I see. I like stale Peeps.
Those are actually better because they're crispy.
I know. They like a little bit of a crunch to it. Like the marshmallowy ones, when they're first fresh, it's like the consistency is weird.
I mean, I'll eat them no matter what, but I agree with you. Stale Peeps, like cut the packaging, leave it overnight.
I'd say no. I'd say for like days. Ooh, just let it sit. That way, if like you're sitting there and like you're knocking on the table, it's like, you know.
Nice.
I could totally do that.
Well, yeah, that's my parent pick of the week, minus the Peeps. Well, thanks so much, guys, for tuning in to episode 5 of ParentCast. Uh-oh, the baby just woke up.
Oh, my God. Come on. Really?
It's okay. How can people reach us?
We're just going to keep blatantly ignoring our child again. Why not, right?
This is called Cry It Out.
usually do the internet one. So what's our website?
Our website. Oh, he's really crying. We better hurry up. It's parentcastpodcast.com.
And you can always catch us on Facebook at facebook.com/parentcast.
Tweet us at parentcast.
And get us at Gmail too, at parentcast@gmail.com.
All right, so before we go check up on our little son, what can people look forward to next week, Blake?
Next week, we actually got a really special episode coming up for you.
What's so special about it?
It's all about dads. It's going to be a round table about dads and pregnancy and like early newborn stuff like that. It's going to be actually really cool.
Pretty neat.
So why don't you make sure you get there and give us the feedback on this episode or the next. And if it's good, we'll put it on the air. And if it sucks, you're left out, as always.
Aw, see you next week, guys. ParentCast is a Tall Mom Media production. Please do not take anything that we say as true facts. We are not specialists or really anything. We're just parents who are trying to figure this thing out. So research things on your own.
Don't sue us.
Please.
We're poor.